situation without judgment. That's really what forgiveness is about.
If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, I have an important message. You may be entitled to receive disability benefits through Social Security. You'll be matched up with an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, deal with Social Security for you, and handle all appeals and hearings. Best of all, there are no upfront fees, so you pay nothing until you receive your benefits.
Call the Citizens Disability Helpline today for a free, no-obligation consultation.
Back to the Book of Acts. Check out SamaritanMinistries.org or call the number now at the bottom of the screen.
Be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia, 844-707-5533. It is great to be here. We've got a full board. We've got the Ag Report. We don't want to miss that. We've got the Ag Report. Somebody wrote me and said, does Craig know that the Chinese have agreed to buy all the soybean every day? Yes, Craig knows it better than you can imagine. So, yes, Craig knows. I know. We heard the president. We saw the reports. So, yeah, we're making some headway in these talks. It's very, very encouraging, very exciting. So, yeah. Anyway, 844-707-5533. So here's the deal. We've got the Ag Report. I want to give you just a little bit, but I may have to go to a call before the Ag Report. So I'm not going to have a lot of time. I'm going to have to just bump you off if we go to the Ag Report. But Amanda's been holding for a while. I'm going to do that. But because Kevin Brady, Congressman Kevin Brady, coming up with us in the next segment, and we're looking forward to having the congressman on with us. He is he's one of the good guys in Washington. So we're going to talk to him, then we're going to get right back to phones. So let me just mention the indices right now. Dramatically up as ISM Manufacturing Index came in above expectations. This is another number. Not even close. All these economists haven't had a very good day today. But anyway, boy, that's good news. Man, what a way to kick off January. Just keeps getting better and better, if that's possible. All right, here we go. We're going to go to the phones. Let me go to Amanda. Hey, Amanda.
Hey, Dan. I will be quick. I am quitting, planning on quitting my job in April. I'm going to have another child, so I'm going to stay home, take care of the two kids I'll have. But I do have a 401k with my work, and I'm just wondering what's the best, should I just leave it? Is that with Transamerica, or should I move it over? I already have a Roth IRA I'm contributing to, so I'm just kind of at a loss to what to do with that 401k.
Yeah, don't leave it there, Amanda, if you can do it.
Okay.
I would like you, where's your Roth?
It is with Ameritrade.
Okay, TD Ameritrade, okay. So if you could go to TD Ameritrade and open up a traditional IRA account, tell them what you're doing. You don't need any money to do it. Just open the account up. Let them know that you got a rollover from a work 401k that's coming into it. And I would like you to do that. That would be far better for you. Because, and here's what I'd like you to do with it. I'm sorry I'm talking fast, but here's what I'd like you to do with that. I would like you to use that portfolio, whatever that money is, as part of your more aggressive positions as you follow the asset allocation model. Okay, so in your Roth IRA. So if you have a micro cap, if you want to buy a couple small caps companies, your tech companies. Maybe tech and healthcare allocations. You know, you could be focused on that smaller amount. And I think that would be a great way to go. I think that would serve you really well because you're not going to be contributing to that. It's just going to sit there for 30 years or whatever it's going to be. So you might as well be fairly aggressive. Yes, you'll see some downturns. It's not to say you won't have to manage it a little bit. There may be a couple of positions in there that, you know, I put on my sell list or, you know, are up significantly and you want to sell out of or are there have just been a dog for years and you want to sell out of, move that money somewhere else. I mean, so there may be some management, but for the most part, since you're not contributing, I'd rather have, yes, more risk, but the greatest opportunity to go up as well. Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Amanda, I wish you all the best, and I want to thank you, you and your husband, for your commitment, for you to take on now the toughest job anybody could take on, and to be a stay-at-home mom, that's awesome. So I wish you all the best, and God bless you. Thank you. Good stuff. 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Now, we have a line open, but we got our ag report coming up. And then we've got an interview, just one segment, an interview with Congressman Kevin Brady. All of you in Congressman's Brady's district, that would be the Woodlands and Conroe, Texas. Probably two of our biggest areas for the ministry. I mean, I'll tell you something. If Texas, Arkansas, and Virginia, what's our other big state? Those three are probably our biggest. I mean, there's a number of states. I mean, we're in every state. Louisiana's big, a couple others. But, man, if we lost those, man, they are the ministry, and we sure appreciate you guys. So I'm glad we're having Kevin Brady on. It's great, 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 great guy. So we thank you for all that. Speaking of Virginia, tomorrow morning you're going to be there in Richmond? Come on now. Tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock. Don't make me work on a Saturday and you not be there. So come on out. Richmond, Virginia area, Grove Avenue Baptist Church. Grove Avenue Baptist Church. You can go on our website under events and pick up the address. So Richmond, Virginia, Grove Avenue Baptist Church, tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock. We're going to have a great time. Very laid back. Come in your pajamas if you want. Bring your coffee. So we're going to have a great time. So I hope we see you there. I'm speaking tonight, snowing. I hope I can get there at their Shabbat dinner. So here's Craig Haggard with our Ag Report. We'll be right back.
This is Craig Haggard with your Financial Issues Ag Update for February 28th. Corn lost ground again yesterday and, in fact, broke out below the range that has been trading in the past few months. Weekly ethanol production was up last week, but year-to-date production is running 1.3% behind last year, while stocks are up 3% over year-ago levels. Traders are already starting to anticipate the planting season. Currently, the long-range forecasts are for cooler, wetter weather in April and May, which could delay corn planting and push more acres to soybeans. Obviously, that would be bullish to prices if it were to occur. In the overnight trade, spot corn futures are trading a half cent higher. Soybeans tried to post a small rally yesterday as U.S.-China negotiations seemed to be moving forward. Ultimately, the market was not able to hold the gains as we sold off into the close. The trade wants to see some actual sales to China, not just promises. Looking forward, I see that the new crop soybean-corn ratio is at 2.4 to 1, which would suggest that this spring's planted bean acres should come in around 87 million acres, which in turn would result in roughly a billion bushel carryout again into next year. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading down 2 cents. Wheat started strong, but then lost momentum when Russia assured the world it was not going to restrict exports of wheat. Wheat also picked up some support from the continuation of dryness in Australia. While it's still early in their growing season, it is worth paying attention to. If the dryness continues, it'd be the third straight year of drier than normal conditions for that region of Australia. From a domestic demand standpoint, the current price spread between corn and soft red winter wheat suggests that wheat could replace corn in some southeastern feed rations later this summer. In the overnight trade, Chicago is a penny.
In November of 1620, the pilgrims came to America with the hope of building a civilization that would one day be a shining city on a hill. At the American Family Association, we believe that dream is still worth fighting for. We believe that marriage was instituted by God, that families are worth preserving, and that every human life is worth protecting. We are the American Family Association.
Others' healthcare burdens. And there's such a peace and joy knowing that God is answering our prayers, bringing healing and providing for our needs.
Our faith and values shouldn't be compromised by the way we invest. Our faith and values that we share should guide us in the way that we invest. Make sure that you are investing in companies whose policies and practices align with pro-life, pro-family values. Visit thetimothyplan.com or call for more information. Advance the kingdom in the way that you invest.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. 844-707-5533. We just got to get the congressman, as soon as we answer the phone here, into the queue. So as soon as we do that, we'll get him on the program. So he's coming up with us. Right now, all the indices still very much in positive mode. That is good news. Hey, oil dipping again. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in the top of the next segment. So we'll get to that. So we'll see where we go. All right. It's Rapid Fire Friday. We are going to get to your calls. We know we've got a full board, but we've got, as I said, we've got Congressman Kevin Brady coming up. Soon as we get through that, the next segment, we'll get to your phone. So hang in there. I know it's Rapid Fire Friday, but we didn't want to miss an opportunity here with Congressman Brady. Congressman, welcome.
Hey, good morning, Dan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I sure appreciate you being with us. Last time I saw you, I told you I was going to round you up for a. To be on
I saw you and Yvonne at the Atlanta airport.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, the Woodlands, Texas, Conroe, Texas, probably some of the greatest area in all. We're in every state in the country, but those two areas are great. When I do a town hall meeting, I did one last year in the Woodlands, man, we pack it out. And it's just we have a great group of supporters there. So,
that's great.
Yeah, it's just a great, great area. So
it is.
We appreciate you being on. Congressman, you know, I believe that without you, without Steve Scalise, I think he played a bigger part than he gets credit for, and your work on this tax bill that we are enjoying now, I don't think we'd have it. And I appreciate your leadership. I think you've been one of the great, great leaders for this administration. And, man, you sure came at a great time.
I've been blessed. We've worked many years to be ready and prepared for a president willing to lead on tax reform. And for 30 years, more than 30, since President Reagan did it, we had a president willing to lead. We had a Congress that had worked years to be prepared for that president. And we got it done, I think, in just a year, a little over a year now, we've gone from a country asking where are the jobs to now we're asking where are the workers. You know, it's just every business, small and large across the country, are looking for workers. And this morning's jobs report was another just great number, 304,000 new jobs added. The wage growth is now the highest it's been in 11 years. So people's paychecks are getting bigger. Manufacturing is, again, at a more than a decade high. So that means jobs are coming back, you know, and a lot of people are moving, frankly, from part-time to full-time, although I think we can do even better there as well. So, yeah, it's, you know, we're blessed, you know, doing the right thing,
yep.
Letting people keep more of what they earn, you know, making sure there's tax cuts for local small businesses, and then changing the code so that, you know, our jobs aren't moving overseas. In fact, the new tax code says bring your money or your jobs back into the United States. And so, yeah, we're seeing the fruits of that, and not just for the middle class, but also for the poorest among us. I call them our underdogs, you know, in our community who for the first time are seeing job opportunities they haven't seen.
Amen. It is just amazing. I look at the reports today, the manufacturing numbers up again this morning, and just keeps getting better. You know, Senator Schumer, you know, I was thinking of all the things that he said, it's still saying, putting out there. And the CBO puts out their latest report, and the CBO says, is basically saying in this report that everything you guys said was going to happen because of this tax bill is happening. And we're not going to hear that anywhere.
No, we're not. And CBO is not even a fan of tax cuts.
No, so right, I know.
For them to admit that the economy's far stronger than predicted. In fact, think about this. They were predicting for this period, we would average 95,000 new jobs a month. We are averaging 250-some thousand jobs, and we go higher than that at times. And the one thing they did point out too, that of course the national media will not acknowledge, our revenues coming into Washington are higher than they were before the tax cuts takes place. Not a lot lower, higher than they were. And so it really it's already starting. Yeah, I've never predicted that the tax cuts will completely pay for themselves, although we'll see over the next, you know, over 7, 8, 9 years, we'll see how much of it is. But already we're seeing much lower deficit projections from revenue because our economy's growing and people are going back to work and their paychecks are bigger.
So, and that's exactly
it's what you and I know, Dan.
Yeah,
really
that's
works.
Right. That's right. And, you know, speaking of that, I was going to ask you about a comment that Larry Kudlow said on Monday, and he said that the president's budget is likely to continue to have these 5% cuts across the board with the exception of defense in it. And, you know, that's what I've been begging and praying for, because everything you said is right on the money. And the GDP growth in this country that we haven't seen in what, you know, we've been barely break even with GDP, and to have GDP growth is incredibly important. We get nothing, we go nowhere without GDP growth, but we also need to reduce spending.
Yes.
That's what makes it a perfect storm, so to speak. And do you think there's any shot with this Congress as it's positioned right now, this House of Representatives? Or what do you think about these cuts that President Trump is proposing?
Well, first, the president's right to prioritize defense spending, because last year we came together for the largest rebuild in the military in 15 years, and heavens knows it needed it in a big way. So he's right. The world isn't getting safer. It's getting more dangerous, and he was right, exactly right, to join with us to do that. And that's one of the proudest things, frankly, I've voted for ever in Congress. Secondly, look, we don't have a revenue problem in Washington. We really have a spending problem.
Yep.
And that's what the CBO is showing us, and every expert is showing us that's where the problem's at. And so, I think he's right. And I'm really looking forward to that budget. In Nancy Pelosi's House of Representatives, will that fly? No, probably not.
Yeah, and that's disappointing, and hopefully it'll make for the
not
idea
the deficit.
But
to spend more.
Yeah, yeah. Well.
So, yeah, it's going to be a tough haul. But the Senate, you know, look, Senate with that 60-vote rule, they're often not nearly able to hit the conservative numbers I want to see. So we're just going to have to battle it out, Dan, right now.
Yeah, Yeah, that's it's disappointing. I mean, I just that we didn't hold, obviously, and it's disappointing to you because you're the chairman we need in the Ways and Means Committee. You know, we look at all that is going on with the border wall and all that's going on with the security or the lack thereof of our American people. I saw something that you put on, I think it was on Twitter or something that I follow, and you mentioned that recently a previously deported felon,
yes,
with a history of sexual assault on children more than once, three times, DUI, perjury, arrested in your county due to no border security, not proper border security.
Yeah, Jose Hernandez, who, as you said, had been deported multiple times, came back in easily, sexually molested 11-year-old girl repeatedly before being arrested. And you talked about Connor on the Woodlands, right here in our neighborhoods. And unfortunately, that's all too common. And for Texas, I know up in Washington, I see on TV people, proclaiming their knowledge of the border. But in Texas, look, we pay the price for that open border. Houston region, where I'm near, is the number one sex and human trafficking hub in the United States. And Dan, think about this. I don't always, you can't just think about numbers, but think about this. 80,000 underage children in Texas alone, 80,000, that's bigger than most medium-sized cities. That's how many victims of sex trafficking in our state alone because of that open border. Then, of course, we've got all the drug traffics, the MS-13 gangs. And then just in Texas alone, our state, we've had 539 Texans killed since 2011 because of illegal immigrants. Mm. And so those are, when Nancy Pelosi talks about an immoral wall, I think of 539 Texans and 80,000 kids, affected by sex trafficking. Oh. That's immoral. That is immoral.
Amen.
So that's what we need to address.
Well, I just hope that the American people will come to their senses and somehow put aside all this garbage that is being talked through the liberal press and the media and the lies and the deceit and the deception. And can somehow, through common sense, wade through this. And I tell you, we need great guys like you there. And we sure appreciate you. I had a friend of the ministry, Alan West, Colonel Alan West, on the program yesterday. And he's now a Texan.
Yeah.
He's now a Texan. So yeah, that's right. So we had a great conversation.
Free gifts for you. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Make this the best fishing season of your life with Mighty Bite. Order now.
And as a bonus, we'll include our new custom Big Fish Trophy Kit. Just in processing and handling.
Order today and you'll get four free gifts. So call 1-800-604-3885. Again, that's 1-800-604-3885 or visit buymightybite.com. That's buymightybite.com.
Actually aligning yourself with companies that may be funding abortion, pornography, alcohol, tobacco, gambling, anti-family entertainment, and also the homosexual agenda.
Americans now have the ability to invest in the Timothy Plan funds and know that none of their money is going to be invested in companies that are promoting this type of thing.
At Timothy, we take that seriously, and that is our mission.
Investing in a mutual fund may result in the loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses before investing. The prospectus is available from the fund or your financial professional that contains this and other more complete important information. Please read it carefully before investing or sending money. Distributed by Timothy Partners Limited. Member FINRA.
Well, welcome back. Financial Issues. I'm Dan Seale. It is great to be here. I'm so glad that you all are with us as we are every day. And I just want to, with all that's going on, and all the, to say garbage that's going on in and around abortion, that just doesn't do it adequate to say garbage. It's just a heinous, horrendous world, political world that we are living in. Of course, this week we had that vote on from the Senate. Only three Democrats, voted with Republicans on the murder of babies after they're delivered. Only three. And I just want to say this again. I know I said this. I beat this to death the other day. But I just want to say that it is amazing if any of those that voted for it will be in office after the next time they come up for reelection. It would be amazing. I don't know how. I don't care if you're a liberal, Republican, Democrat. Doesn't matter. I don't know how anybody cannot vote for their morals and character of somebody. And that was a direct indication of their morals and their character. And they're not people we need in office in the United States Congress. But anyway, I've got Dan Steiner, president of Preborn Ministries. We wanted to get Dan on here and talk about this. Dan, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
It's my privilege to be on Financial Issues, one of the premium ways that Jesus Christ saves babies in America through Financial Issues Stewardship Ministries. And so it's just, this partnership is great. Dan, great to be on again.
Well, thank you, Dan. I appreciate you saying that. And it is an unbelievable partnership that was providential put together, that's for sure. Dan, tell us your, I know and I have to ask you your thoughts. I know what your thoughts are. But what do we need to do? What can we do as we move forward here with what is happening in America? Obviously, you know, this was a show of just support for, you know, life. But nonetheless, this is where our country is going. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
It really is sad, Dan. And no surprise, though, it says in the last times, perilous times have come. In Scripture, men will be lovers of themselves, truce breakers, false accusers, fierce despisers of those which are good. I mean, this is what we're seeing. And to think that politics is the answer, we're, you know, really going down the wrong path. As you know, Dan, is by definition the art of compromise. And, you know, that's what politics is. And,
yeah.
So no surprise that it's a reflection of our quickly decaying post-Christian, post-modern culture. That's what we're dealing with here.
Well, you know, it reminds me every time I hear something like this of just how important it is that, first of all, I feel incredibly blessed as the God-appointed leader of this ministry to be able to have an organization like Preborn that we can partner with, that can partner with us, that we can come alongside each other and have a way for people to fight, you know, to fight back by saving lives. Because I know Satan despises every time a mother hears that heartbeat and sees that ultrasound. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, it's a game changer, and the hundreds, thousands of Financial Issues listeners over the last few years that have underwritten these personal ultrasounds where a mother gets to hear her baby's heartbeat, see her baby for the first time right there on the screen in her own uterus is just, I mean, it's a game changer. They choose life 80% of the time, and we give all that money away that you appeal for so faithfully day in, week out, Dan, to our clinics in the highest abortion cities of the United States. And some of them, I just got a call today from our center in Maryland. You know, they're just a couple miles from a late-term, full-term abortion clinic there in Maryland. And this is where this stuff happens. You know, if the guy fails, the baby's born alive, they're not going to resuscitate, they're not going to get medical care. Now they're protected that they don't, and the failure to pass this protection for these babies that are born alive. And this happens literally hundreds of times a year. The babies in this is not a, I mean, I know that in 2018 in Florida alone, I'm aware of 16 babies that were born alive. Failed abortion means that the baby's born alive, which is, I think, a great result. But the problem is they're in the hands of people who are paid to kill them. And, you know, and then we have willing accomplices in the you know, I won't say deep state, but Democratic Party, and, you know, it's just terrible.
So a couple of weeks ago, it's ironic, as we see all this stuff that's going on in New York City, you asked, you know, we wanted to try to save a pregnancy center there in Queens, in Jamaica, I think the Jamaica section of Queens.
Yep.
And we appeal to our listeners that we need to come alongside this, and we cannot let this close down. And we needed $250,000, and then we were going to get a match for another $250,000. And the news on that is good, isn't it?
Boy, it sure is. And I appreciate, you know, the megaphone of financial institutions because we got the match. The match has been met. We're able to run for the year ahead of us with this new center in the highest abortion neighborhood in the United States, this Queens, Jamaica Queens / Brooklyn, six zip codes, is 32,000 live births. In the most recent statistical year, 38,000 abortions, more babies die than are born there. We're going to stop with that. We've got the center open. We're marketing aggressively. We've got the fuel now. Well, people continue to, you know, to give, but we are able to make this happen.
Wow. And, you know, I know a lot of you listening gave to that. I know that you did. And we won't know the full effect of your dollar until we get to glory. But we do know that there's going to be a great reunion. I always tell our listeners, the Financial Issues family, we're going to have a party in glory with the reunion of all these babies and lives that we've saved. And we're going to have a whole lot of people there in glory from the Queens, Jamaica section of Queens, and that zip code area. The highest abortion city in the country?
Well, New York actually is behind Los Angeles.
Okay.
There's about 80,000 abortions in New York and about 110 in Los Angeles, just a difference in population. But in terms of a demographic, per capita demographic, these zip codes are, I don't know, the worst one, except, I mean, the Margaret Sanger Center there at in New York, that thing, that's the Planned Parenthood's flagship. That,
yeah.
I think the baby's killed like every 15 minutes or something.
My gosh. Folks, we are just in a such a battle, and we're so grateful that we have preborn to stand firmly on the front lines with us, and that we can continue to support your work and the work that's going on there that God has you doing in all of these places around the country. And folks, when we see what's going on in our capital, what's happening there, what's happening with politics, what's happening with the atmosphere in America, how rapidly things are changing. Man, if we're not in end times, I don't know wherever we are, but I'll tell you this much, folks. We've got to go down fighting. We got to be fighting for the causes of Christ. We can't stand back and say, oh, there's nothing we can do. There is something we can do. And, you know, if we can save one life, one baby's life, we can just save one. We will have done an unbelievable work of God. And I just hope that everybody listening is more motivated than ever. This is not a time, is it, Dan? This is not a time to be discouraged. This is a time to put on the full armor of God and get our feet moving. Yes, hate to say it, it just is what it is. We've got to open up our pocketbooks too. Because, unfortunately, this work of God, God is counting on us as instruments of his love and peace to do his work here on earth. So with those blessings that he's given us, we need to open up and be in this battle and fight this war.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's, you know, all it takes for good men, evil to succeed, is good men to do nothing. And, you know, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God's raising up the standard. We've seen tremendous support since the New York lighting up, which the one that Tower in New York, that's a national landmark. They have no business lighting that up for the cause of abortion.
Yeah. But yeah.
It's ignited a lot of Americans' conscience, a lot of the church's conscience has been awakened to this. It's time to go beyond conviction to action.
Yes.
To do something about it.
Smart Biz loans made a lot of sense. We didn't want to pay a high interest rate, and we got the exact loan that we needed for our store.
We have a 10-year loan. Our repayment is only $1,600 a month.
It was way easier, way faster, and at the end, we got the loan.
Now with the SBA loan, we're only paying 6%, and I can afford that.
So go to smartbizloans.com today. Get the right loan at the right rate. Apply now.
That's why there's 1 million moms, protecting innocent eyes from harmful media every day.
And recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
So let me just talk a little bit, address Lewis. So Lewis, our national debt is directly related to our growth. One of the reasons why we have such horrible national debt, $22 trillion, is not just because of the spending like drunken sailors of the Obama administration, the last 2 years of the Bush administration, which I was very critical of, from an economic perspective. Loved George Bush, but I was very critical of the administration the last 2 years. We have to understand when we look at the debt, we've got to look at the lack of growth. We can never have any shot of paying down national debt or controlling our debt without GDP growth. It is literally impossible. It won't ever happen. Nobody talks about the correlation between the increase in our national debt and the lack. First of all, everybody that's saying now it's $25 trillion, they all said it was going to be 18. And before that, they said it was going to be 9. And before that, they said that 8. I remember specifically when they all said 8. And on it goes. They've been saying it forever. They sell a lot of books. They sell a lot of blogs. They sell a lot of newsletters. They sell a lot of gold. They sell a lot of stuff. And they get notoriety. Because they are very good writers and they are writing about a topic that a certain segment of our population loves to read and hear about, doesn't necessarily make them credible. Because you've got to talk about the whole deal. And you've got to understand that. Or the interest rates, cheap money, been kept down artificially by the Federal Reserve. Yes, since Alan Greenspan. I think it was a plan of Alan Greenspan. I think it's been carried through. And I've been an advocate for raising interest rates for if you've listened for any length of time, at least 5 years. I said it's time that we start raising interest rates. That was a ploy. That was a calculated move to try to get monies into the market, to raise the market, to create a wealth effect. If we create a wealth effect, then the economy is going to grow. Everything that I could talk about as it comes to our national debt and government failed policy is going to come back. I can bring it back to GDP growth. Because when we didn't have GDP growth, we were getting in deeper trouble by trying to create GDP growth because the government and the Federal Reserve believed that their job is to get people back to work. It's not their job, but they believe their job is to get people hired. They believe their job is to increase GDP. No, their job, the government, the Federal Reserve, anybody else, their job in the government is to create an environment by which those things happen. They have no power to create that. They only have the policy, fiscal policy power to create an environment for that. So President Obama created a very negative environment. So therefore, that growth aspect of GDP never happened. So not only at the very same time we were spending like crazy. And so we're spending at the very same time we've got zero GDP growth. So hence, President Obama graduates from the presidency and we've doubled the national debt. So we can't control national debt until we take a look at growth. We can't create growth with wealth effect. And I can say this because I only said it one time, and it was in 2009, and I wrote about it, that creating a wealth effect by the Federal Reserve, and at the time I said if they choose to go down that road, which I believe they would, and they did sometime after I wrote that, but when I knew they were going to go down that road, I said then it's never, ever going to work again. And I was right about that. Now, I didn't write about that over and over again, and I'm not going to say it again. I said it once, I was right, and that's that. But we got to have growth. Here's the problem. We have today an opportunity that we've never had. Wait a minute, I missed a point. So if we are growing GDP, can national debt now go to $25 trillion? Yes. If we continue to grow GDP, can it go to $28 trillion? Yes. How about $30 trillion? Sure, if we continue on a path of GDP growth. How about $35 trillion? Probably not. How about $40 trillion? Probably not. It's not going to work. There will be a point where we reach a place where we can't outpace the debt. Now, you've heard me say this. I wrote about it. I said about it. You know, I got criticized for being critical of the administration, but I talked about President Trump, and I said, I'm scared he's drinking the Steve Mnuchin Kool-Aid that is every time he answered a question about the debt, he would say, oh, we've got great GDP growth. We're doing this. This is going to grow. The whole answer of the Treasury Secretary was what I just said. Growth is going to solve all the problems. No. You cannot solve any problems without growth. But you need to have, and this is why we went on that phone call letter writing campaign that I put an alert out and asked everybody to write the White House, to say, Mr. President, you have got to address debt. Because we have an opportunity now that we haven't had in 20 years. We have an opportunity to really hammer away at our national debt because we've got the GDP growth thing. I don't want to say clicking on all eight cylinders, but going in the right direction. The trajectory for GDP growth is very, very good. Now, if we can start decreasing the size of government, if we can start cutting spending, if we can do some of the things the president talked about, like across-the-board cuts, 5% every department of the government, thereby shrinking those governments or what those departments or what they're spending, now we've got a chance, a possibility to see debt starting to decrease. But we have a Democratic-controlled Congress. They love to spend money. GDP growth means we've got more money to spend. That's the problem. Politicians don't get it. And the reason politicians don't get it, because they've been sold a bill of goods by all the lobbyists. And they've been sold this notion, well, you know what? We're 100% debt to GDP. We're about 102. We're 102%. But, you know, just not long ago, it was 74%. But anyway, we're 102% debt to GDP growth. Oh, listen, Congressman, that's nothing. Take a look at China. They got 600%. Take a look at Japan, 400%. They're doing just fine. They'll get along. We don't have any problems. We're in great shape. This is not a big deal. Don't get caught up in what all the people are saying. They don't understand. We need debt. True, I would agree with that. We need some debt. We're always going to have some debt. That's true. I would agree with that. But they have their head buried in the sand because they're economically inept. That we have the most economically ignorant Congress than we've ever had right now. They don't get it. They don't understand it. First of all, this idea of comparing the United States of America to China and Japan is ridiculous. With this trade war, let me see, who's suffering? United States? Oh, no, it's not the United States. Of course it's not. It's China. It's not the United States. I know there were a lot of people thought it was going to be the United States. It's not us. It's China. You can't compare the economies. They're an export-driven nation. We are a consumer-driven nation. It's totally different set of economics and numbers. So debt means far more to us than it does to them. Debt means to them that they need to continue to trash their currency, making their exports more competitive so they can keep people working. That has worked for both Japan and China. Not going to work here. It's not going to work here. All it's going to create here is hyperinflation, big problems. So do I believe that we are on the precipice of economic Armageddon? No, I don't believe that right now. Do I believe we could be there in 6 months? Yes. Or maybe we could be there in 6 years. Look, we can do an awful lot to, as long as we have growth, but the president needs to come out and say our administration is committed to reducing the national debt with the exception of defense, and we are going to start making cuts. But listen, all the people, everybody, conservative and liberal, that has talked to me about what we've got to do to the debt, even you, Lewis, have mentioned that. If somebody from Washington says, hey, we've got to take this under control, you have to understand, we are going to have to cut Social Security. So if you were thinking you were going to get your Social Security